Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for... Wow, it's Friday the 13th. Glad we're not superstitious, huh? It is Friday the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2018. That means July 13th, ladies and gentlemen. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we believe the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, is the blueprint for liberty. And we also believe that the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, absolutely brilliant. And one of the great restorative solutions, or keys, if you will, that we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of work to do, folks. The key, though, is God, family, and country. By the way, it is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. You got to love that. And by the way, this hour is brought to you in part by raw honey delivered directly to your door. Did you hear that weird cereal commercial? Or not commercial, but news tidbit. Salmonella in the cereal. It was honey something. Don't buy that. Just get raw honey delivered directly to your door. Get a hold of Kurt to learn more. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or smile and dial 801-669-2211. A quick recap of yesterday's show, then hard-hitting news starts. We talked about a big blue belly flop, folks. An interesting alliteration to show that Democrats are losing big when it comes to trying to capture the U.S. Senate. We'll keep an eye on that ball as we get closer to the election, just for you. We also talked about the United States is poised to surpass Saudi Arabia as world's top crude oil producer. That's great news, but we got to quit exporting so much oil and start using it ourselves, huh, folks? UC Santa Barbara, whacked out colleges, man, they're out of control. We need to shut down the education department and government education funding. Nevertheless, UC Santa Barbara literally says 4-year-old children should engage in sexual play. I mean, have these people lost their minds? Just as soon as you think it can't get any worse, these people are just unhinged. They're crazy. We talked about Bill Maher offers Mitt Romney $1 million to oust Donald Trump. As if Mitt Romney could even get that done. Weird stuff, folks. We talked about our guest, or talked with our guest, I should say, Brian Rust of RustCoinAndGift.com. Over the past 50 years, he's been educating people on precious metals, doing a phenomenal job. We talked about the Honest Money Report. We talked about gold and silver appear to be down, but it's really the dollar manipulations. Gold and silver steady as a rock. Gold, $1,245.90 right now. Silver, $1,588. We talked about China offers a $20 billion loan package to Arab League nations, which includes Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, Syria, and Yemen. Wow. That's going to mess with the trade balance, isn't it? Reuters says China's motivation to become a major player in the Middle East is to secure trade routes. Yeah, if they don't have more sinister intentions than that, huh? That was our What a Liberty Roundtable Live Hour 2 yesterday. We talked about the former Planned Parenthood CEO. Quote, the future is Latina. I would hope the future is just American people standing together for the sacred cause of liberty. But that's just me. We talked to our guest, second hour, Neldon Johnson. He's with rawpower3.com. We discussed disruptive technologies used by Raw Power 3 and give a look into the future as more and more of these technologies are adopted and deployed and make our lives better, folks. We talked about free powers from freeways. China is testing roads paved with solar panels, writes the New York Times. We also talked about China already produces 3/4 of the solar panels sold globally to date. Wow. We're falling behind, folks. We better leapfrog in technology or we're going to get left behind. California says they could start generating electricity from roads, writes Business Insider. So we talked about that a little bit. We talked about these incredible boys who opened a lemonade stand to raise money for their fallen police officer. What a tremendous act of service and kindness. We need more random acts of kindness. Good people running around doing good things, folks. We also talked about Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch sues for documents on Mueller's abusive raid on Trump's lawyers. We also talked about Nolte. That's the author. Associated Press becomes fake news factory with immigration lies. Wow, boy, is that the truth. We also talked about Twitter, I guess, is being forced to clean up their act. They're literally getting rid of tens of millions of, they say suspicious accounts, but they're really fake accounts, folks, signaling a major effort to restore trust on the platform. Do you trust Twitter? Do you think they're honest? Do you think they're involved in the real truth and their accounts are real? Wow, the internet has experienced a bloodbath like this before. Back in 2014, it was Instagram, that's a Facebook-owned company. They had to purge a ton of fake accounts, too. So it's rampant in this, quote, mainstream news fiasco. You know, they run around and talk about ratings with me all day. Sam, what are your ratings? What's your numbers? I say, you can't get the truth on the numbers. Oh, Sam, you just don't know how to do it, buddy. You just don't understand digital, do you, Sam? And then I bring up story after story after story after story where they're just guilty of fake news, fake accounts, fake people, fake statistics, fake numbers, fake ratings, fake. And then I bring it all up. People go, oh, I guess you're right, Sam. You do have a clue. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. That's a recap of yesterday's broadcast. It is still available online at libertyroundtable.com. Tell all your friends, spread the word, and donate today, would you please? Libertyroundtable.com. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And one of the leaders in Covenant Communities, Terry Colafrancesco, with us. He's the founder and director of Caritas of Birmingham, his website, MEJ.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, my friend.
Thank you, Sam, and also hi to Kurt this morning.
Now, we cover a lot of news, don't we?
A lot. So when you're in trouble, just listening to it.
All right. His books, ladies and gentlemen, They Fired the First Shot, came out in 2012. Incredible book. We had Richard Mack on Wednesday, and he was even talking about it. I'm telling you, it's a book to read, folks. It's a large book, but boy, is it full of anecdotes and reality checks that really put things in perspective. His new book coming out soon is Satan Pulled Another One on You. That'll be out soon. Keep an eye on MEJ.com for updated details on that. Now, I saw an interesting headline that I wanted to bring up to you, Terry, that I think is really worth discussing. You and I, over the last many weeks, and along with Kurt, have been talking about how the restoration of God, family, and country is critical, is key, and how we need to turn to God, we need to worship, we need to have our faith. If we turn to God in faith and repent, He will heal our land and protect us. That's what we need the most. However, this headline came out, mass exodus from church. There's a surge in young adults that have no religious affiliation. Terry, your thoughts?
Well, the secularization of our civilization in America is targeted more than any other place. Having the gift of going to Europe so many times, and where the seat of Catholicism is right there in Rome, and then other churches, and that's also across Europe in different places, you see the secularization of the church itself. Actually, they're suffering more in Europe than we are. We spoke, I think, a couple of weeks ago about Ireland. In 1997, 70% were going to church, and now only 17% are. And so it is some cause of alarm, because we see this where people are becoming disillusioned. We see the youth here in our country, the United States of America, but it's something prevalent across the whole world. At the same time, we're ahead of everybody else. We're not as bad as other countries. And again, having the luxury of going to different countries, often you see that. I'm more concerned for Europe than I am for America. And I don't mean that in the sense that I'm not concerned for America. I am. I think in America, what we are with is we're ahead of everybody else and recognizing these things, that we are losing our youth. And I think I read statistics a while back that said that 2/3 of evangelicals would drop out of the faith who has been raised in the faith. So that's pretty alarming. But at the same time, there is some good things happening, because the church grew from a small, tight, strong number. And that's what we have to go back to. Actually, a priest told me years ago, he said, Terry, you know, we don't need a big church. We need, he said, we don't need a big fat church. We need a lean, strong church. And so we see the principles of the Navy SEALs. They go down to four SEAL teams, and they can fight up to 300 people. And, of course, we know when the story came out about Marcus Luttrell, about losing his three buddies, they were fighting like 300 or 400 people, and then another 200 or 300 came up. So they can battle against 1,000 people. But the church is being squashed and persecuted now. Everything's against us. Everything we're doing is a battle, and that's good. Nobody likes it. I don't like it, but I think we're going to come out of this much more powerful, much more stronger, and having more things to consolidate us. I know my dad was during World War II. I remember telling the story. This one of the high schools here. He was going to Inslee High School, and the war broke out. They brought in military guys, talked to the guys in high school. The very next day, there wasn't a single male in the school, even the freshmen. And they let them lie about their age. And they all went into the military. But see, we were consolidated into a purpose. The problem we have right now is we're so scattered amidst us and who's next to us, we don't have anything consolidating us. But what will happen with the church is...
All right, hold on, Terry. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Terry Keller, Francesco, MEJ.com, and Kirk Crosby on your radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. We're talking to Terry Colafrancesco, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about when less is more. And the Lord said to Gideon with the 300 men, God is going to reduce this fighting force. And Gideon's like, what? How's that going to work out? The Lord has his plans. And rather than a big fat church of unbelievers, that are in it for, you know, social reasons or whatever else, we need true believers in Christ. We need a faith-based church that truly turns to God in humble prayer and guidance and lives their lives pure so that when we meet the Savior someday, he will say, I know you. Welcome to the feast, if you will. And that's kind of the critical key here that we're talking about, Terry.
Mm-hmm. Well, what it is when you get, well, the best thing that happened to the early church was persecution. It made us, just like with World War II, where I was ending before the break, where all these boys in high school all went to war because we had a seen front in front of us, and it actually united us. And we don't have that right now in the nation, so we're losing our children out of church. But what will come as a result of this is the thinning down, but making it much stronger. And when that happens, you're going to see these people come back to the church because they're going to be attracted to it, because they're going to be disillusioned and lost in direction of what we need to go to. The only solution is Christianity. There was a situation in the beginning of our nation that happened that, Sam, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's fascinating. There was a guy by the name of Anthony Sherman in 1859 who talked to a Wesley Bradshaw. Sherman was 99 years old. He had met him and knew Wesley Bradshaw and met at the Independence Hall. And he told a story about George Washington. He was one of his attendants. And the story was that got published, actually in the National Tribune, Volume 4, Number 12, I'm just taking that for the record, in December of 1880. But the conversation Sherman had with Bradshaw was he was putting orders to about Washington when George Washington was in his tent. And George Washington, this is in a period of where they were retreating and losing over and over and over. And Washington was in prayer very often. We see the picture of him kneeling down in Valley Forge. But what happened, he came out after several hours out of his tent, and Sherman says that nobody knows this story. And actually, this now story is in the Congressional Record. But he says that he saw this woman in his tent that was very beautiful, and she said to him, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." He saw three perils that would come to the United States of America. The first one was the Revolution. The second one was the Civil War. And the third one would be on the soil of America with the clashing of swords all across the country. I published this in 1990 or so, 1993, made it popular. There's been several books about this writing, which is fascinating when you read it because it goes through the whole vision that George Washington had. He actually thought he was dying, and he actually said that he couldn't reason, he couldn't think, he was just almost paralyzed by that. And it was impossible for him to go out of this state. And so he kept seeing these three things, son of the Republic, look and learn. So he beheld in this one of the third peril that would be the most serious and the most dangerous in destroying the Republic. I believe we're in that right now. I believe Obama was a great gift for us that isolated us against our government and consolidated us to bring about Trump. If we had McCain, it would be just completely where we were, a little bit deterioration, like water dropping on a stone. But Obama broke the rock. Obama made us wake up, and we owe a lot to him because he was so bad that we had to start looking and searching for where we needed to go to. At the end, what we had yesterday in this congressional hearing about the FBI and all these things that are happening is demonic. We see the most greatest threat now, I believe, in the United States we've ever had. I believe if Hillary Clinton was elected, it was such a big turning point where we would not be a nation. They would have taken control. So we're in this battle, very possibly this third pearl, that if you look it up and you see what George Washington said, that we're in war, a complete war. We're war in the church, war in the government, war wherever we are in our countries, as well the whole world is. It's not just the United States of America. John Quincy Adams said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was that it was connected, that it connected indissolubly a bond, the principles of civil government with Christian government." You think Satan's going to like this nation? here it is that the founders are saying that it connected civil government with Christian government. You got John Jay, one of the three most responsible people for the Constitution, says Providence has given to our people the choice of these rulers, and it is a duty as well as a privilege and interest of a Christian nation to prefer Christians for their rulers. So how do you have a nation that's not targeted by Satan, that the reason is we spread the Bible, we spread Christianity more than any other nation ever in history? So Satan hates this country first. And likewise, it would be the first nation that if heaven's intervening into us now to give the Republic of victory, that he puts somebody in office, not because we're going to get president, we're not going to get peace to the president. It's going from my heart's changing of how we get our leaders. Obama just reflected where we were. The people that's coming in, our elected officials only become who we are. So you see this battle, satanic battle, we're in war. And I don't think people really look at this in this way. I've not heard anybody talk about the satanic and how much the devil is involved with this. But if you heard that clip yesterday, and I'm sure, Sam, you've heard it by now, with Gowdy and Gomer from Texas, it's nothing less than satanic. We are in war. They're after our children, just like what you talked about, these 4 or 5 year olds. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the body is the temple. It houses the soul. And you got 4 year olds being exposed to these things. I don't understand how all the fathers, or at least half the fathers, don't go down in these schools and just burn them down. We're in war. There's certain times we're supposed to be at peace, but there's also times for war. We see that. And here it is, we're in a situation that Jesus went into the temple and turned it upside down and whipped them with the whip that he made out of the temple. That's the word of God says that. And we have these temples, these little innocent kids in California being exposed to this. Why are we not pouring out into the streets? Why are we not doing the power about just our power of our presence stop this except for a week? And so we're going to continue to be cursed, made small, to be hardened to be Navy SEAL teams that we're going to stop this. But I do see the light at the end of the tunnel. What we go to Medjugorje for was all about this in 1981 when God sent his mother, because we're sick in the world, to bring us back to scriptures, to live those scriptures, and put them into action. And not just pray. Pray results in us growing in holiness, and that holiness gives us the grace. We'll have leaders we need to follow, that we have like Trump, that are from God. There's no doubt in my mind. Even people and good Christians still are against Trump. They don't recognize where God's hands is.
Well, we need to understand that, you know what, George Washington's vision that you so well speak of, Son of the Republic, Look and Learn, talks about the three perils. The third one's the most brutal of all of them. But what you need to understand is, or not you, but everybody needs to understand this principle. You know what? The whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and the Union. Bottom line is, George Washington says, we win in the end. God is with us. And we're about to be destroyed, and angels come down and help our sacred war. And that's how we survive it and remain victorious. But it's up to us to preserve as much liberty, to create covenant communities, to do all that we can to preserve the sacred Constitution, to preserve the rule of law, to preserve God, family, and country, until that blessed day of victory. And then the Savior Jesus Christ comes, folks. That's good news. Terry Colafrancesca with us. We'll chat more in a second. I got a sinister reality check we'll bring to you, too. Hang tight, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
To leave a message, press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad. Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No.
To change.
Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks?
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
The gulf between the righteous and the wicked ever grows wider, ladies and gentlemen. While we're talking about the republic shall survive, we shall win in the end. While we talk about George Washington's vision, while we talk about victory, while we talk about God, family, and country, while we talk about all things of peace and kindness and restoration, our enemies are absolutely getting belligerent and bold in their quest to promote everything that we stand against. You know, how do we boldly stand up for what we believe in, but be kind in the process? So Michelle Wolf is a comedian promoted by Netflix. Netflix literally doubles down in salute to murder, to abortion in America. Listen to this comedian who literally says, God bless abortions. Listen to this, and then we'll talk about it.
So tonight, in honor of America, I'd like to do a salute to abortion in the Break's 10th annual Salute to Abortion. Get one! $6. That's like six movie tickets. Movie tickets, a bad deal. And women, don't forget, you have the power to give life, and men will try to control that. Don't let them! God bless abortions, and God bless America!
Wow. Promoted by Netflix, Kirk Crosby, your comments first.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just basically the anti-God crowd. I mean, trying to cloak themselves in something, I guess you could call it funny, you know, on their side. And yet it's so against God's laws that, you know, I mean, there's not much else to say.
We like to talk about the new media taking center stage, and boy, howdy are they. Remember, Netflix is kind of like the new TV, right? The new movies, the new modern entertainment, whatever. The old media, you couldn't even say pregnant on TV at one time. Now you can literally promote the advocation for murder, funded by our tax dollars. Terry, I mean, they're getting more and more and more unhinged and bold by the second, sir.
They are. It's a satanic infestation. But, you know, it's not so much that they're so powerful to do such things as this. It's that we are so weak. We can't stand up against it. So Netflix, 20, 30 years ago, or maybe even further back, would be destroyed immediately. But what she's saying, God bless abortion, is accurate because their God is Satan. Satan wanted to be God. So they're telling the truth at the same time, because their father is the father of lies. And this is where we're not distinguishing, thinking, okay, God's going to bless this, or people might say, thinking about our God. They can't say this against our God, because you're not a God of abortion. The only one that is a God of abortion is Lucifer himself. And this is where we're not teaching our children. We're not showing these things. And we're not living our life that would shame them to say such a thing. If we were convicting, if we're light, they would never be able to voice what you just played in this clip. And that's where we have to grow, and that's what our whole mission here at Caritas is about, is I have to change, I have to pray, I have to be holy, I have to change my life. This morning, I was praying at 3:45 outside in the field, and I heard this. There's no cars going up down the road here. I heard this grinding crash. It's obviously a crash. I got in the car, ran all the way back a quarter mile to get my truck, go 1 mile down, and I come up on this, looks like a car, but it's a big motorcycle. The guy crashed, went 150 feet. He was a biker. This is like 4 o'clock a.m. It's dark. Nobody's there. Nobody's going down the roads. And I thought he was dead. I started talking to him. He started moaning. And I said to him, I said, I got to go back. I got to go call 911. And he didn't respond. I says, you want to pray? He didn't respond. I asked him, would you say a prayer? You want me to say a prayer? He didn't respond. I said, just repeat after me. Jesus, help me. He didn't respond. 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. Finally, the 5th time, I said, just say before I leave, Jesus, help me. And he said, Jesus, help me. This guy's face is blooded, his whole body, he's mangled. Blood's all over the place. I held his hand, blood's all over my hand. So I come back, call 911, get back, and run back down in the truck. And no cars had passed. He's still laying out there in the middle of the road. And I watched this guy, and he wanted to hold my hand. And he said, who are you? He never opened his eyes. You know, when I grabbed his hands again, I was the guy that was there before. We never know what kind of situation we're going to be put into, where somebody's about to die, or where they survive, or is this a point of conversion for people? But what my point is that we have to live light. You have to, and God will put you in so many situations. I find myself and our community here, we go out during the daytime. People are drawn to us. We pray 3 hours a day. That's not too much prayer. Because we're here for this life, for one purpose, to see where we're going to spend eternity. And these poor creatures saying, God bless abortion, they don't know what waits them. But But we have seen people in that bent so strong toward the devil change through our mission and the way we live our life. Sam, you've been here. Kurt, you've been here. People come here and they get impacted by that. But I'm passing this not as a badge for us, because this is a difficult life for us. We're out in the field praying in the rain, in the storms, every morning, 365 days a year. But that's just part of our prayer life. And until we learn prayer is the way to change these things and fight these people who are so wicked that and love them, because you don't want your worst enemy to go to hell. It's something, and there are people, and actually I came back and prayed for another hour for this man, that this be a turning point in his life. He was a big guy, like a football player, probably 300 pounds, but wasn't just fat. I mean, this guy was beefy. Thank God he had a helmet on. But my prayer for him, another hour after that, was this be a turning point, just saying the word, Jesus, help me, can convert him. And I have confidence that when he said later on my second trip, who are you, that he was impacted by that. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything special, but I was ready to say what needed to say. And it's real simple. So this is a change of our nation. This is a change of our nation. And it does start in the school rooms. We take it that all religions here can be accepted. But in 1796, the United States Supreme Court, a case called Rocco versus Weinmiller, ruled, quote, by our form of government, the Christian religion is the established religion. You don't hear that nowhere. And it continues, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed upon the same equal footing. That's where we have the misunderstanding, that we have to accept other religions other than Christians, when it was not about that. It was all denominations are on the same equal footing. Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslims, that's not on the same standing. Our forefathers believe Christianity was the official established religion, and all those denominations are equally on the same footing. So you read these things that are our forefathers, and it gives us an emboldened power that we have a precedent, not over people and what they believe. They can believe what they want to, but they're not on the same standard of Christianity. We're commanded to do these things. And when you start doing these things, you'll be put in positions to change people's lives around. We have many, many people in that way. So, Sam, what you're saying is, in quoting about George Washington, is very, very profound. And these things need to be studied, needs to be put on.
And that's why we got to make sure that we don't get discouraged. We got to make sure that we do what's within our power, that we pray, that we turn to God, that we do the things we need to do, and we leave the rest up to Him. I can't fix the world by 3 o'clock, as an old buddy used to say, Chuck Harder, who's passed away now, but he's right on. I can't solve everything. What I can do is my part, and that which I can do, I will do. And if we all have that attitude, ladies and gentlemen, take courage in our God and do our very best. All right, quick pause, Sam and Kurt, in seconds.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
One of the areas that I really think is critical is honesty, and honesty is the issue, ladies and gentlemen, with all kind of things, starting with our money. We need to have honest money, folks, if we want an honest society. And if you think we can have an honest society without honest money, good luck with that. Anyway, Kurt, there's folks writing about this, too.
That's right. The headline from the boys at WorldNet Daily, Bill Federer is the author. He's a great historian, and he brings up the point. He says, why centralized banks aren't a good idea. I would put it in the category of making America great again. And he talks about some of the history, but he gives several quotes from one of your favorite buddies, and, President Andrew Jackson, who, by the way, vetoed the charter of one of the early Federal Reserve attempts, if you will. He said, some of powers and privileges possessed by the existing bank are unauthorized by the Constitution, subversive to the rights of the states, and dangerous to the liberties of the people. It's easy to see that, to conceive that great evils to our country and its institutions might flow from such a concentration of power in the hands of a few men irresponsible to the people. Their power would be great whenever they might choose to exert it, to influence elections or control the affairs of the nation. But if any private citizen or public functionary should interpose to curtail its powers or prevent a renewal of its privileges, it cannot be doubted that he would be made to feel its influence. Then he finishes up, Andrew Jackson does, says, controlling our currency, receiving our public monies, and holding thousands of our citizens in dependence, it would be more formidable and dangerous than the naval and military power of the enemy. Oh, boy.
What do you think, Terry? I think that's one of the critical components. If we're going to have honesty in our society, it's going to start with honest money.
Well, this is where we have the most dishonesty in the whole country is based on that. And, of course, it always, back to darkness is behind it. But we have the means to break away from that and the central bank in its control. Gold is the exchange of the king. Silver is the exchange of the gentleman. And barter is the exchange of peasants. And debt is the exchange of slavery for those who are enslaved. And this is something we don't understand. I wrote a book in 2010 called Ain't Gonna Happen. And it's about the whole interest and how you borrow money and how you borrow $100,000 and then you have $200,000 you pay back. This is usury. Usury in the Bible is sinful. So the banks, once you understand this, and the money system is a sinful infrastructure. The only way to protect yourself and save your future is to buy silver. Now, you say, what about gold? Well, silver, if it's $15, $16 an ounce, which is where it is now, if you got 1,000 silver pieces, 1 ounce pieces, it goes up to just 50 cents, you made $500. If gold goes up $5, 1 ounce, you may make a few bucks. So you, actually, silver is the exchange to have, and everybody should be putting some of the funding into this, because we have a corrupt system beyond people. They can't even understand it, how bad it is. We we do a 1 week weekly show called Medgenomics, and we go into these things. So Sam, what you're bringing up, and Kurt, is the central bank is an evil thing, and I'm sure both of y'all know about how central bank started. It started in Georgia, off the coast of Georgia, and you go there and you see this big historical sign. This is where the central bank was made. It was made by bankers, and it was for them to make money and to control the system. And everybody now has got a central bank. I was with the central bank president in Virginia, had a dinner with him years ago, and he said that people will go without food for 3 days, and 7 days later they'll be stealing, even Christians, if they're not very strong. And in 15 days, they'll be savages. And this is the central bank guy, so they know the system's bad. I got another friend who's a banker, and he told me, he said he's scared of the banking system. This was 2008, and before the crash, he said it's real scary what's happening in the banking system. I had another bank guy who's a banker. He called me right before 2008. He says, Terry, you better be careful what you're doing. If you got money running your mission, you got to protect it. That there's at least 100 banks about to fail. And this was a month before it happened. So why would we not think this is going to come back to us? Sam, we're in a dangerous situation in the sense that dishonesty is going to be washed out. And the more we become moral, the more God will expunge these things out of us and bring them down. So the system is going to crash. There's no question about it. I think you're referring to one of your advertisers, probably that gold and silver. What was the name of that you said?
Which one?
You have an advertiser selling silver and gold, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, read this stuff, educate yourself. You can call Caritas and get it. Ain't going to happen. It's simply laid out. Because our system is beyond fixing. We can't pay back our debt. And most people are in debt themselves. And we promote and push people, get out of debt. If you don't get out of debt, you're going to be tied to the system. When it goes down, you're going to go down with it. And that's coming in our future.
So, all right, Kurt, I think honest money is a critical issue. I also think the education department is a critical issue that we can't ignore. And there's two stories on this. One, the student loan debt is out of control, and it'll never get better as long as we have inflation, as long as we fall for this lie that you got to just spend a gazillion dollars on student loans. You call it America's student loan problem. Total debt is now $1.4 trillion. Millions of people are in default, and it's going to get worse. But the good news is Representative Thomas Massey, he's of Kentucky. He's got a bill to eliminate the education department. It's H.R. 899. We got to really push for that, because I believe that to be one of the great solutions, Kurt.
Well, yeah, I couldn't agree more, Sam. And, you know, of course, I think it started with Reagan, or maybe before, that they said, hey, we're going to get rid of the Department of Education. You know, they need to, well, get a little smarter there and get her done.
Terry? I think we need to get rid of the education department, though, and this is where a lot of the indoctrination is going on.
Wipe it off the mark, the earth. It just needs to go away. It's bad. Part of the book I'm writing, finishing up now, Satan Pulled Another One on You, is about the cattle facilities of schools. They are indoctrinating our youth. They do sell them into, you know, the way you get ahead is going to debt. The whole basis of the textbooks, you can have the greatest teacher in the world, but they're teaching from these books, which is nothing less than propaganda. And it's forming the youth and their mindsets and mentalities that don't think like what we think or the older generation thinks. The millennials they're becoming more disillusioned, and they're waiting for the world to change because they think in blaming us on the situation that exists. But they're going to be making decisions about your life and your health when you're 80, 70 years old, whatever. And their formation is bad, and therefore they see what is bad as good because they've been taught that. So the education, national education, the whole thing needs to come down. What's the lady? She's the head of it. What's the name of her? She's Jewish. I can't think of her name. But anyway,
what's the head of the education department? What's her name, Kurt?
Yeah, well,
she's a former Lily Eskelson, I think, is her name. She's from Utah.
No, head of the education department?
Oh, you're talking about DeVos.
Yeah, DeVos.
I thought you were talking about the NEA, the National Education Association.
Yeah.
Is what I thought
everybody
he was
talking
about.
Everybody should write here and say, dismantle this system.
Amen to that. I wish you'd get it done sooner than later. I want to end on a good note, though, at least. Mm-hmm. Looks like black conservatives had a big old rally in Washington, D.C., and they're calling for the censure of Maxine Waters, Terry.
Oh, she needs to be thrown off the earth, too, with the education system. Horrible. I don't even know how they elect somebody like that. But blacks are being, you got Candace Young. Is it Candace Young, I think? Owens. Candace, an incredible black woman, speaking out, very articulate. You've got the other peoples, the rapper, whatever his name was. I don't keep up with all that. But they're
Kanye West.
They're waking up the blacks and realizing, hey, we've been sold down. Candace Owens is really going to the colleges and educating blacks, and they're standing up. We've been on the Democrat plantation too long. So it is a good note because they have used them and manipulated to black people and friends I know that I have that have been duped are starting to change their minds all across America. And that's what's making them really demonic. The Democrats are demonocrats. They are so upset because they're losing their base, who they've enslaved. So this is a good thing. And DeVos, hopefully she'll get enough direction to start dismantling this thing.
All right, well, there you have it. All I can tell you, folks, is we got a lot of work to do. But there are good news issues all the time that you don't hear about. One of them is Caritas of Birmingham. They have a covenant community of Catholic Americans who absolutely believe in God, family, and country. And this covenant community is something to behold. Not only do they live their lives, but they share their lives with you and invite you to come to spend some time with them. And you learn about who they are. You meet the people personally. I mean, they're some of the most humble, dedicated, consistent people that I know of in the country. They're in Birmingham, Alabama, and they have this covenant community that is just tremendous. I've been there, and I highly recommend it to you to learn about, to gain knowledge about what they do, what they believe, how they live their lives, how their community works. I mean, it's just tremendous. I don't want to say it's on display because that's the wrong term. They want to share it with you. They want to give you a taste of what it's like and who they are and what they're doing, because in that is the solution to return to our God, to return to our family, to return to our country, to return to a simpler life. It's not Amish, but it is a different life than the world promotes. Check it out. MEJ.com is the website. You can also get Terry's incredible books there as well. MEJ.com. Terry, my friend, Godspeed. We'll chat soon.
God bless you and Kurt and your broadcast.
Thank you, sir. There he goes. Terry Colafrancesco, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, amazing stuff. Great work. Great friends. I'm just telling you right now, you break bread with them and you'll never be the same afterwards. You'll just realize there's so much good in the world. It's just a blessing and a half. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, crew. Tell everyone they're high and we love them. MEJ.com is the website, ladies and gentlemen. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Sam and Kurt with a lot of hard-hitting news straight ahead on your radio. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. If we provide value to you, please reciprocate. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. As we declare, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? This nation shall endure.